Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There are new questions around the cause of the plane crash in Kazakhstan Wednesday that killed at least 38 people. 29 survived, but there are questions about Russian air defenses that were in the region. The flight was bound for Russia from Azerbaijan before diverting to Kazakhstan. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has more.
Russia had recently defended the area from Ukrainian drone attacks. When asked whether the plane may have been fired upon by air defenses, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters it would be wrong to speculate before the investigation is complete.
The Labor Department's weekly jobs numbers show the highest number of people collecting unemployment benefits since November of 2021. That's a 1.91 million person total for the week of December 14th. President Biden and his family heading to the Virgin Islands for vacation. He's in the final weeks of his term. A former challenger says she wants to reinvent the party. Marianne Williamson running for chair of the DNC. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin court officials say mental health evaluations for people facing criminal charges are taking longer. According to Department of Health Services data, the number of people facing charges who were ordered to be evaluated for competency has grown from about 1,600 to 2,600 over the last 5 years. The number of people ordered to undergo treatment to restore competency has seen a similar increase. Officials say the DHS needs more funding to continue growing competency services and the mental health workforce. A coalition of environmental and citizen groups are calling on state lawmakers to invest nearly $1 billion in clean water infrastructure in the next two-year budget. Over 30 groups signed on to the letter calling for a $953 million investment for infrastructure improvements, the release of $125 million for PFAS cleanup, and for policy changes to protect access to safe drinking water. The letter referenced water systems with high levels of PFAS contamination and lead service lines that need to be replaced. A new Duluth shelter aimed at helping young adults experiencing homelessness is scheduled to open next month. The Another Door shelter will be able to accommodate up to 12 younger adults between the ages of 18 and 24 and will provide them with employment and education support services. The $1.6 million shelter aims to help those young people find reliable housing and job security to keep them from falling into a cycle of long-term housing instability. The shelter will be operated by Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. The Barron County Plan Commission is considering a rezoning proposal by Burton Farm Development with the goal of addressing housing and childcare needs. The organization has proposed selling small portions of the Burton Family Trust property in Rice Lake for things like an apartment building, daycare center, and strip malls. County officials say there are nearly 1,000 open positions in the workforce that haven't been filled because the county needs more housing and childcare options. The request will be considered on Thursday night. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home tonight in Milwaukee against the Nets. The Bucks are 16-12, 10-4 at home, heading in the right direction. Bobby Portis credits head coach Doc Rivers for the turnaround.
Sometimes when you have a coach that instills confidence in you, it's easy to go out there and play. I played on teams where the coach don't want you to shoot. You know, sometimes you have coaches that have different philosophies and different ways of coaching, and I think his way of coaching kind of instills confidence.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game is on New Year's Eve. Marquette ranked 8th in the nation. They don't face another ranked team until after January when they host number 11th ranked UConn in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers holding practice preparing for Minnesota on Sunday. And in college football, a report says the Badgers are losing running back Tawee Walker to the transfer portal. Walker led the team in rushing with 864 yards and 10 touchdowns. Receiver Will Pauling accepting an offer from Notre Dame. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Damp and dreary today. As warmer temperatures start to move in, we're dealing with patchy fog, spotty sprinkles, and widespread rain. Continuing throughout the overnight and into tomorrow afternoon, we are looking at accumulations around a quarter of an inch. And high temperatures climbing to the low 40s for Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 29 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. I am not Jane Matinair, nor am I Greg Bach, but I am Dan Schaefer, and I am your guest host this morning on Matinair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us and spending some time with us today on this December 26th morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the guest host today. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. If you'd like to join the conversation at all today, the talk and text line is open, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we've got another guest who's going to be joining us for a little while here. Civic Media's own Luke Mathers is joining us today. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's this day after Christmas always has a certain specific feel to it. So it's like there's so much building up to this one day, and then it's over, and it's like, all right, do we pull the tree down? Do we just move on? Do we turn off the Christmas music, whatever it might be. You know, it's got a certain feel to it, doesn't it?
I think that the Christmas music definitely comes to an end. Maybe a song here or there today. Our tree does not come down for some time though. My wife loves the Christmas tree, and so that will be up until mid-January.
Mid-January. See, that's yeah. A while. We'll have the tree up for probably past New Year's or whatever. But, you know, once we get past that, it's, you know, it just becomes like we get a real tree. So we have
So
there you go. Both we're in the real tree. but like cleaning up those pine needles and like running the risk of the kids or the dog knocking over the tree, shattering some ornaments. The dog's already taken out a handful of ornaments this year because she's nuts. So that's a worry that we have. But, you know, going into mid-January, that's at least it's not like, you know, the whole winter with the tree in the house, though.
Yeah. Well, Aurora's a puppy. She just turned one on Saturday. So we were very nervous because this is her first year with the tree. She was born last December. We picked her up in February. But I had no idea what to expect with a puppy and the live tree. We put all of the really nice ornaments. We like to get, we get one from wherever we go. So we collect ornaments as like, we were lucky enough to travel to Europe again this year. We were in Europe last year. So we've picked up ornaments from the different countries that we visit. And so we've got some expensive and hard to replace ornaments. Those all went really high on the tree this year because we didn't know what to expect. Yeah. Thankfully she's been really good though. We just have a tendency. I think we made it last year where, the Christmas decorations went away in the final week of the NFL regular season. We made the joke that when Scott Hansen leaves Red Zone, when we pack up Scott Hansen for the day, for the year, that's when we pack up the Christmas decorations too. And so I want to say it's like the mid to early January, I think.
You sync it to the NFL calendar. So that's the real thing driving all of this. Not the holidays themselves, but the NFL calendar.
The end of the holidays in our household is the end of the NFL regular season.
Okay. So like, so it's like the whole thing that people are talking about with Jordan Love and Toyotathon now.
Exactly.
You know, you're scheduling around the Jordan Love Toyotathon run as much as you are scheduling things around the holiday season.
Exactly.
That's great.
Very, very similar aspect in our household. But
that's great.
It is a difficult challenge to keep the live tree, you know, not completely becoming just all fire tinder.
Yes.
That's the hard part, is making sure, because I forget, how is your watering schedule for your live tree? I don't think I did a very good job at it this year. I think it's drying up pretty quick. I'm trying to make up for lost time and just like a pitcher of water almost every day now.
Yeah, so you gotta, the key is to make sure you've got that end of the tree sawed off so that it's actually taking the water, because I've made that mistake in years past where we didn't do that.
Just, we're filling
and
it.
And you're just filling
no
it. And
water.
I'm just like, why is no water coming up in the tree? So, you know, it's a learning process. So this year we've got it pretty down. I'm the guy in the house who handles like watering all of our plants and keeping them alive and all of that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, I just add it to the rotation with the rest of the stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just another plant to water while I'm making my rounds.
That makes sense. There you go.
Yeah.
I'll have to think of it that way for future years, because this one, I think, it's still sucking up some of the water, but I'm worried that it dried out way too quick. But we'll keep it around for another, I don't know, about 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, there you go. If you're just joining us, I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. You can join our conversation here, 855-752-4842. We're broadcasting live from Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. We had a terrific guest here with us before the break here, Alice Herman, who is a writer for The Guardian, who wrote this piece about the Uline company and the Uline family that owns it. And, you know, the pretty clear problems that rise because of this, that it seems like, you know, if you're really boiling it down here and oversimplifying this very complicated story, you have two of the biggest donors to Donald Trump, who has focused on immigrants and illegal immigration to a great degree in his campaign. Two of his biggest donors are potentially breaking immigration law. And if this story is accurate, and I have no reason to believe otherwise, of course. It seems like a real problem. And I think, you know, when people talk about the illegal immigration issue, you know, so much of the focus seems to be on the individual and not on the corporation or the company or the contractor or whoever it might be, the farmers who are hiring these individuals. So it's the type of thing where, should we be scrutinizing these individuals who are trying to make a decision for themselves, or should we be scrutinizing the companies who are potentially breaking the law and at the same time, you know, advocating for some real hardline anti-immigration policies?
Yeah, it's a very important story to be keeping an eye on. I know that there's a lot of folks that are going about their holiday routines, not paying a whole lot of attention right now to the news. This is one that, folks, you should be sharing around with your friends, your family. Like, this needs to be talked about, because I think you put it really perfectly, Dan, where a lot of the emphasis from this conversation, this debate, goes on to the immigrants that are coming here, or the specifically at the border. And it talks about how, oh, we need stronger borders. We need stronger borders would not prevent a company from doing something like this. The company using its means to go and fly in these people that are on different types of visas than they're supposed to be for utilizing employees. These aren't work visas, from my understanding of the reporting. And then sending these folks back after they've hit kind of the time on those tourist visas is a very, very crude use of what these visa types are for. And then at the same time, when the right hand is doing that, the left hand is paying for campaign ads to the tune of millions, if not billions, of dollars, because some of this stuff is still undisclosed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much money was fully spent here in 2024 because of the messed up campaign finance laws that we have, not only here in the state of Wisconsin, but around the country. And so we truly don't know how much money was spent by these folks on ads that were demonizing the same people that they're bringing here to try to make their profit margins larger, because that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to keep their costs as low as possible with labor, like from Mexican immigrants, and then be able to sell and keep as many of their profits as possible so that they can continue to do this system, because it works, Stan, too. That's the thing, is it's working for them. They donated a couple, I believe, $20 million directly to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in 2022, from what we know through campaign finance. These same two donors, they got like it was like a 20-fold tax break that they got, though, then when Senator Johnson was one of the deciding votes in Trump's first term, when they did similar donations when Ron Johnson was up for re-election in 16.
Right. He created kind of this carve out in the Trump tax cut law from his first term that, you know, netted the Ulines hundreds of millions of dollars after spending tens of millions of dollars supporting his campaign. I want to read one more line from this report from Alice Herman at the Guardian, talking about, you know, some of the difficulty that Uline has in staffing their warehouses in states like Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. And it said, I'm reading directly from the story here, the Mexican workers have an implicit understanding that they should tell border officials that they are entering the U.S. to be trained at Uline, sources alleged. One Uline document seen by The Guardian, which was used by a Uline employee in Mexico to enter the U.S., said the employee would be receiving training in warehouse safety, understanding how to use vehicle-mounted unit devices, understanding how to identify warehouse locations, and on and on. Legal experts said B-1 visas are intended to be used for short-term visits, no longer than 6 months, and the workers are not meant to engage in, quote, productive employment at the time. So, look, immigration law is complicated. These B-1 visas or all the different, worker visas that we have in this country are complicated. It does seem like Uline is exploiting this to their own benefit and doing so at a time where they are backing the most anti-immigration president that we have had in this country in quite some time. So, again, I will encourage folks to really spend some time with this one. And I think it's one that we should be following here at Civic Media, and it deserves a little bit more attention elsewhere beyond that, because the Ulines are some of the most important donors in the Republican universe, in the Trump MAGA universe now. And I think they are right in our backyard here in southeastern Wisconsin. Uline is based in Pleasant Prairie. They are, a Wisconsin-based company doing these types of practices in this particular moment as Trump is promising mass deportations. I think this is a big deal.
And I'm not a betting man, Dan, but I have a feeling these two donors are going to have a large influence in the upcoming April 1st election here in Wisconsin. So this isn't
if history
something
is
they're
a guide
not tuning
at all,
it
yeah.
out. Yeah, they're not tuning out news or politics right now. They, if anything, seem to be getting more and more involved, if we've learned anything from this most recent election. And so I have a feeling they're going to be big players when it comes to Wisconsin's state Supreme Court race that's coming up in just over 3 months here now.
Yep, they were big players last time. I imagine that they will be big players again. Luke is going to be sticking around with us here in the second hour of the show on Matt and Air on Air. We're maybe going to get into some lighter topics after the break here. But if you have thoughts on that one, thoughts on anything else, random questions for us, the lines are open, 855-752-4842. Give us a call, shoot us a text, join us on the live stream, leave us a comment. We'll be with you for the next hour here with Luke Mather. Stick with us here on Matt and Air on Air. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new study by Pew Research finds Americans broadly support such democracy reforms as making Election Day a holiday and 2 weeks of in-person early voting, but also think voters must use government-issued ID and voting machines should have paper backup. Pew surveyed over 5,100 American adults in January 2024 from a pool which reflects the demographics of the U.S. It found an increasing number of Americans, 72%, supported making Election Day a national holiday, and 76% supported 2 weeks of in-person early voting. The public is split, however, on having a choice for mail-in voting, with 57% supporting and 41% opposing. Among Republicans, support for mail-in voting dropped in 4 years from 49% to 28%, likely in response to former President Donald Trump's baseless fraud claims. While voting rights groups have tried to protect voting for the elderly, disabled, and students, 81% of Americans support voting only with a government-issued ID, up among all partisan stripes. Support for Election Day registration and automatic voter registration through the DMV declined slightly since 2021, but is down 10% among Republicans. Pew also found notable differences among younger adults and communities of color who are more likely to support early voting, mail-in voting, and automatic and Election Day registration. We have a link to the full Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you for joining us. I'm digging the music selection there. I'm a big Nirvana fan myself. So thanks for that one, Calvin.
Calvin doing a great job on the board.
And that's all right.
He's so enthralled with the music. Yeah,
that's all right. We're discombobulated, I guess, about the, you know, Nirvana's pretty great. So we're gonna get into it. If you're just joining us, I'm your guest host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor at Civic Media, joined for this hour of the show by Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. I was trying to think of like what your title even is at this point with the company. You're just Luke. I think your title is just the company's official Luke.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go. It has changed. Like, I've been here since day one, and so it's kind of evolved as we've evolved as a network. And so it is. I think Civic Media Zone or just Civic Media's Luke, that works. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
The official Luke of Civic Media. That you just do everything. So we always appreciate all the things that you're doing here across the network.
It's the nice part about working on the day after Christmas is one. I don't know. Are you a big reader or anything like that, Dan? Were you reading a lot of books this year?
Not this year because I spend so much time writing that I like don't want to escape
fair.
That with words, you know?
That's fair.
I'll listen to audiobooks and stuff like that. So I'll do my reading while I'm like doing my dishes and stuff. But yeah.
Gotcha. One of the best books I read this year is called Stolen Focus because I do believe like this is kind of an outside of work thing that like social media, Twitter specifically, but like short form stuff has really the notifications on smartphones, the devices that we carry around in our pockets, like our addiction to the internet has really changed the way that we all process information, the way that we think. And so Stolen Focus is this book that I read this year, kind of outlining a lot of the different aspects that feeds into that. And it's kind of greater conversation about the relationship that we have with technology. And one of the things it talks about is you lose your focus because you go into you don't have the opportunity to go into things called flow. So when you're just working on something and I think we all experience flow a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing on December 26th is I'm not getting as many notifications. I'm not being asked as many questions. So I'm feeling a good flow today.
That's good.
And it's a very productive day for me here, at least around the office. I'm just trying to avoid the cookies that I brought in as extra. That's my only distraction here the day after Christmas.
I mean, the post-Christmas dessert game is a big one. You know, I've got kids who have going through all the Christmas cookies. There was one that we brought to our Christmas gathering this week. We're in Milwaukee and we went to Purple Door Ice Cream. And they had an eggnog flavored ice cream and a gingerbread flavored ice cream, and they were both awesome. So we just both got a couple pints of those to bring along. So I'm trying to not eat the whole pint of eggnog ice cream all at once. But, you know.
That sounds like a challenge in itself. There's a reason I think we all have New Year's resolutions right after this time of year, because we've got a... We got to be better about some of those snacks. The snacking that happens around the holidays is definitely affecting
me, for sure. What's happening from a dietary standpoint is, you know, so we're just going to overlook the whole problem here. Calvin, do we have a caller on the line that's going to join us today?
Yeah, we have Tom from LA on the line.
All right. Welcome, Tom. You're on Matt and Air on Air.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Luke. Happy holidays and happy New Year.
You as well.
I just think it's really, I think it's really important. And I think what you guys are doing at Civic Media is so important, but we have got to talk daily, to bring the, whether you're on the left or the right, but we have all got to come together and realize that we have to restore government back to we, the people. And the only way we do that is by getting money out of politics and understanding what Citizens United was about and about how the media actually benefits from people being in the dark about money in politics. And I really, really appreciate, like, whenever I get a Uline catalog for my small business here, first thing it does is go in the dumpster, because I am not giving anything to the Uline family or to, you know, anything to do with Widow Hendricks or anything to do with the Bradley Foundation or Koch brothers, any of those different groups of billionaires. We shouldn't have billionaires. And we should need to go back to FDR's tax rate of 90% for anyone over that makes over, back then it was $3 million. Now it might be like $30 million or something like that. And we definitely need to get lobbyists out of politics. We need to get money out of politics, and we need to restore government back to we the people. And this goes for every single issue under the sun, whether it's gun safety, whether it's child care, health care, your rent, your mortgage, anything. It all has to do with money and politics and who it is that is benefiting from the tax cuts and the Ulines. And I appreciate that. So I hope that you guys continue to show the disclosure of the people that are actually giving this money as well. If we can't get money out right now, at least we can disclose it's not Americans for Prosperity or it's not whatever. It is the Uline.
Right. It's not a restoration pack. It's Dick and Liz Uline. And yeah, I think that's why, and thanks for the call, Tom. And I think that's why it's so important to, when there are these stories about these political donors, like the one we talked about with Alice Herman from The Guardian, to really, you know, bring some sunlight to these issues and talk about what exactly the Ulines are doing. And then just to that point on Citizens United, I think that's why so many people are focused so much on the Supreme Court, on the politicization of the court. How'd I do with that, Luke? Didn't sound good.
That was great. 10 out of 10.
But I think, you know, just about the politics of the court. And I think that's why people need to pay attention to, you know, things like the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the impact of, you know, the presidential politics on this elections as well. Because I think, you know, we're going to have a situation where Donald Trump is now going to nominate the majority, probably, of the United States Supreme Court, which is a pretty frightening prospect. And, you know, maybe would have been a topic we should have talked a little bit more about in September and October. But that's all behind us. Luke, we were going to talk about the Bucks, and we've spent a half hour not talking about the Bucks. So when we come back from the break, you've got your Bucks hat on. We're going to talk more about the Milwaukee Bucks, who did not play on Christmas. And we'll talk about that, too. Stick with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection officials are reminding residents to be wary of potential scams during the holiday season. This time of year is a particularly popular time for residents to donate money to local nonprofits to give back for the holidays, but officials are warning that some scammers may attempt to pose as nonprofit representatives. Residents should confirm that the organization they're donating to is legitimate, and DATCP officials recommend donating directly to known local organizations. A Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources rule banning the carrying of firearms while fishing has been temporarily lifted. Last week, the Republican-controlled Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules announced the change and reiterated their intent to make that change permanent in the future. The rule was the subject of a lawsuit against the DNR by a conservative legal group, and the agency agreed to repeal the rule as part of a settlement agreement. The DNR is still reminding anglers it's illegal to shoot fish even with the rule change. A Chautauqua woman accused of vehicular homicide stemming from a fatal accident earlier this year has entered a not guilty plea. According to court documents, 57-year-old Barbara McLennan was charged with homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle in March following the fatal crash in Dunn County on February 25th. Law enforcement authorities say the crash occurred near Highway F, and their initial investigation found McLennan had attempted to pass a vehicle moving slowly in front of her, causing the head-on collision. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from the community on the Chippewa Flowage Joint Agency Management Plan. According to a press release, the involved agencies are asking community members to share how they use the flowage and input on what updates they would like to see added to the plan. The Chippewa Flowage is an over 15,000-acre impoundment in Sawyer County with about 200 undeveloped islands in it. Public comments can be submitted to the Department of Natural Resources online. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globe Awards are just around the corner. The award show does not anticipate as much controversy as last year when host Joe Coy offended some of the attendees and writers. This year, comedian Nikki Glaser has been selected to host and will fly solo, making her the first woman to host the show alone. If you like watching celebrities squirm, you might want to check out the broadcast because Glaser told People magazine she received advice from Ricky Gervais and intends to be edgy with the A-listers. The Golden Globe Awards will be broadcast January 5th. A fun tradition on Saturday Night Live has been the Christmas Joke Swap on Weekend Update for co-hosts Michael Shea and Colin Jost, where they write jokes the other has to perform. Kind of cute, especially when one of them is married to Scarlett Johansson, Jost. Jost ripped on his own wife thanks to the jokes written by his co-host while she watched in the wings from backstage and cracked up. Very funny and worth a Google. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Damp and dreary today. As warmer temperatures start to move in, we're dealing with patchy fog, spotty sprinkles, and widespread rain. Continuing throughout the overnight and into tomorrow afternoon, we are looking at accumulations around a quarter of an inch. And high temperatures climbing to the low 40s for Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 29 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Milwaukee Bucks, green and growing.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I am not Jane Matt and Air, nor am I Greg Bach. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I am your guest host this morning. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on this December 26th. Hope you all had a good Christmas holiday, however you're celebrating. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us. And joining us here as our guest for this hour of the show is Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. And Luke, when I asked you to join the show today, I know we're both big fans of the Milwaukee Bucks, and so I wanted to have some time to talk Bucks on the show. We went through the first half hour of your guest spot here, and we didn't get a chance to talk any Bucks. So let's talk some Bucks right now. Did you miss not watching them yesterday on the Christmas Day broadcast?
I did. It was hard for me to watch it. We do a lot of traveling on Christmas Day itself. We go and visit Kelsey's grandparents in Northern Illinois. And mm-hmm. So spent a lot of time on the I-39, I-88 corridor yesterday. So tough to watch, but always I'll stream the game. I'll listen to it in the car if that's what it takes. But it was sad that there were $0 to try to watch or listen to on Christmas Day. And Giannis was upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Eric Name, who writes for The Athletic, had this report out where he interviewed Giannis, and he was talking about they were a little thrown off by not being in the Christmas Day game. And I think it's been like 7 or 8 years in a row now that the Bucks have been, you know, one of the featured teams on the Christmas Day game, in large part because of, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the success of the team. Look, the deer imagery is right there. They could really lean into that for the Bucks if they wanted to. When the schedule came out, I was a little surprised that the Bucks were not part of this. Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the biggest stars in the sport, and not to feature him on the Christmas Day games. You know, there were a couple good games yesterday, I must say. I was being snarky about it, saying, you know, oh, wild that the NBA didn't have any games on yesterday, just to kind of be snarky about them not featuring the Bucks. I did watch the end of Lakers Warriors, and that had a pretty fun ending.
That was a good ending to that game. We were the dogs were opening their Christmas presents during that. So we were back at the house, and we were watching that. I did not realize they were going to have a 9:30 p.m. tip off.
Yeah.
For the Nuggets versus the
Phoenix Suns. Yeah.
Yeah, and we watched maybe the first quarter, and then we were kind of wrapping up for the night. But I missed who the first two matchups were. I'm assuming Eastern Conference teams earlier in the day. Did the Celtics play?
The Celtics lost to the Sixers. The lowly 76ers got a spot.
It would have had to have been one of those two teams, though. I think that's what the matchup would have had to have been, was with either the Bucks versus the Celtics or the Bucks versus the 76ers. We've got a growing thing going on with Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers, too. Mm-hmm. So maybe that could have been an Eastern Conference matchup. But I fear that was the reason why the Bucks kind of got left off the Christmas Day marquee, was because the Celtics already had a ticket booked with the 76ers, and I think that would have been the biggest matchup for Christmas Day, which they have had in years past. The Bucks Celtics on Christmas is a good game to watch, and I'm shocked that they left it off the lineup this year.
Yeah, and it, you know, Bucks Knicks have been fun over the years. Giannis
That's
always puts on a show in the Garden when they have some of the games there. You know, that I think that was a pretty good game, the Knicks Spurs, and then Timberwolves against the Mavericks, 76ers Celtics, Lakers Warriors, Nuggets and Suns. So, you know, it was a bummer not to have the Bucks in there, but I think it is interesting what the NFL is doing as well. I ended up watching a little bit more NFL than NBA yesterday. I'm in my fantasy football league's championship, so there are some fantasy implications to some of the players yesterday. I'm still feeling pretty good about my chances as well. It's gonna come down for me. Jaden Daniels.
Lamar.
Oh, you have to play against Lamar. That's tough.
Yeah, Lamar put up some good numbers yesterday. Jaden Daniels has got a good matchup though this week. Washington's got
they're playing Atlanta at home on the Sunday night game. And so Jaden Daniels has been the MVP of my team this year. And so that's the reason.
I've had a just balanced team. That's where my success has been. I haven't had any of the explosive fantasy performances. I survived last week playing against Jonathan Taylor and Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, wow.
So, like, the guy that I was playing against, his two running backs put up 70 points between the two of them, and I still outlasted. So
that's
how solid my team is, because there's no, like, all-stars. I don't have a Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix has been really solid for me, though.
And
I've been very, very excited about that. In a keeper league, it's very important to get some of those good rookie quarterbacks really early, like late in their first year, because I get to keep them now for a good amount of time. So I'm hoping that one works out. But yeah, I didn't watch that much NFL yesterday either. It is a mix for me on Christmas Day of trying to spend as much time as we can with the family. Kelsey's brother and her uncle put on the Netflix game, but where we were, they kind of don't have the best internet, and so Netflix just kept buffering. It wasn't a problem, I think, as bad as the Logan Paul Mike Tyson fight, but like Netflix just did not want to work on the Wi-Fi that we were on yesterday. So it kept lagging, and we were like, we're just gonna turn it off then, because it's not worth it.
If you're just joining us, I am Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this morning on Matt and Air on Air. Luke Mathers is joining us. We're talking a little sports. So if you want to join the conversation, let us know if you're a sports fan, how you were spending your Christmas Day. Were you watching some NFL? Were you watching some NBA? Did you just tune in for Beyonce at the
That's
the,
what my wife did.
The halftime performance of the Ravens-Texans game? Let us know what you think on that. And let us know if you missed watching the Milwaukee Bucks on that as well. 855-752-4842. So let's talk about what's next for our beloved Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. I'm going to the game tonight. My brother's in town, so we're going to the game tonight.
There you go. That should be a good game.
Should be a good game. They're playing the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks had a terrible start to the season, started 2-8, but have been, let's say, recombobulating a little bit since then, Luke, getting themselves together, going on a little run. They win the NBA Cup that everyone was talking about it, the NBA Cup fever that we all had. A little bit of a letdown in a couple of the games after that, dropping one to Cleveland right after. Giannis and Dame have been in and out of the lineup. But they've got a few very winnable games on the schedule coming up here. They play Brooklyn tonight, and then they go to Chicago, and then they go to Indiana on New Year's Eve, and then Brooklyn and Portland and Toronto and San Antonio. So they've got a stretch of winnable games here. It's kind of one of their softer parts of the schedule. I think as we get closer into spring, we'll see some more of those higher profile matchups, whether it's against those top contenders in the East, the big names from the West, whoever it might be. But how are you feeling big picture about the Bucks right now and where they stand in the Eastern Conference?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. They've got it seems that both Giannis and Dame are clicking a lot better than at any point that they had last season. Like it very much, there was so much excitement and anticipation with Dame coming to Milwaukee last year. And it never, you could never see Giannis playing with Dame and Chris Middleton like Drew was playing with the two of them.
Yeah.
Like everybody talked about the new big three in town. It didn't really feel like a big three throughout last season because of the very abbreviated time that they had together before the season started. And so I think in the NBA Cup final game, which was an exhibition game, and shout out to Dame and a lot of the other Bucks players. I believe they're taking some of those winnings, $500,000 each player got. Dame, I know, is donated to support staff throughout the Bucks organization, just doing tremendous things with that this holiday season. But the performance that they put on the court that day, like they were clicking and they were looking good and they were looking dominant against a team in the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a formidable team.
It's the top team in the West right now. Yeah,
right. They're looking good on all cylinders, and they came into Vegas, and the Bucks kind of put the kibosh on their offense, which is not something that the Thunder have really seen happen at all this season. And so that felt really, really good. I'm okay with a little bit of the load management right now.
Sure.
Both Giannis and Dame took off over the weekend when they were down in Chicago. Still took care of business. Chris Middleton put up, I believe, 21, 22 points as being kind of the workhorse. We're seeing a lot of production still out of the other players, which has been really, really important because last year it felt like either Dame or Giannis had to do it all. And if they couldn't one night, the Bucks fell flat. And so we're seeing some more of the contributing pieces get developed into the system. They're playing well together. And I'm excited. I'm always excited for the Bucks, but I'm feeling pretty good about where we are at this point in the season. There were a lot of people being like, oh no, do we have to blow it all up? It felt almost like some people were ready to hit the alarm bells, like they were in
after
Brooklyn.
That 2-8 start. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like it was like, oh, this is the big three that didn't happen with KD and everybody else,
Kyrie and Harden
all in Brooklyn. And I'm grateful that those voices weren't the ones making any decisions in our front office. And we kind of wrote out that 2-8 start and we're feeling much better now. But I'm feeling pretty good, Dan.
I'm feeling pretty good too. And I think the main thing, I think the biggest X factor of the whole season, I think, is Chris Middleton's health, because he has clearly dealt with a lot of issues over the past few years. And if he's healthy, you know, going into the playoffs, going into the second half of the season, whatever it might be, like that's the biggest thing to me that can give them a chance to contend. Because if Chris isn't healthy, the prospects of them contending deep into May and June, it becomes a little bit more limited. But if Chris can be healthy, and I think if they can figure out the rest of the rotation, one of the upsides of Chris missing some time is I think they were able to figure out, you know, which of the kind of 3-and-D wing role players can really step up for the team as well. So whether it's Taurean Prince or Gary Trent or A.J. Green, who I think has been terrific for the team. The Dairy Bird, A.J. Green.
The Dairy Bird.
And I think he's been terrific. I think he has solidified his spot as a rotation player. Pat Connaughton kind of has fallen out of the rotation. We'll see if they, you know, maybe make a move with him before the trade deadline. That seems to me the most likely place to kind of upgrade the roster, is maybe find another piece on the wing that can fill that role. But if Chris is healthy, if they can figure out some of these role players, I still think that, you know, they have a real chance to make some noise in the playoffs this year.
I agree. And it'll be interesting to see, because, I mean, in the East, the biggest hurdle that I think the Bucks will face, if healthy, if Chris can stay good and in the rotation and be contributing, is going to be their matchup against Boston. Because Boston, even coming off the championship last season, still looking like a formidable force. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the Bucks and the Celtics match up. And that's, again, just one more reason why not having that matchup yesterday on Christmas Day just kind of was unfortunate for not only us Bucks fans, but I think the NBA viewers as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, that was such a miss. And it's just... I think the NBA should better recognize that Giannis Antetokounmpo is like one of the biggest draws in the sport. He was number one in All-Star voting last year, and they don't feature him the way they maybe would. Like, he had more votes than LeBron, right? Like, it's just ridiculous.
And Dame was the MVP.
And Dame was the MVP of the All-Star game. Like,
I believe he won the three-point contest last year.
Won the three-point contest. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a Bucks sweep almost of some of the events around All-Star Week last year, and they didn't put them on Christmas Day. What are they doing?
I know. Well, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe Giannis needs just another chip on his shoulder. We know how competitive he can be. Another slight to build upon as well. Luke is going to stick with us for one more segment here on Matt and Aaron on Air. Thank you all so much for joining us. I'm your guest host today, Dan Schaefer, and we'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month. as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. I am not Jane Matinair. I am Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this morning on Matinair on Air. Joined by my guest for this hour of the show, Luke, Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. Luke, thank you so much for joining us for this. Spending some time on your December 26th morning with us here on Matinair on Air. We really appreciate it.
Well, we're having some fun because one of the ongoing jokes, folks, for you listeners that may have not had the opportunity to ever tune in to when I was hosting any programs and Dan was my guest, the goal was always to try to work in some Milwaukee Bucks talk. And there's always so much other news going on across the state of Wisconsin and around the country that the Bucks talk always got pushed off to the end and then usually was either very abbreviated or missed altogether. So when you asked me to jump on and wanted to talk about the Bucks, at least for some portion of today, I get it was a little delayed. We waited until the third segment of the hour to get started with it. I jumped at the opportunity.
Well, I love to talk Bucks. We love our Milwaukee Bucks here. And so, all right. So one question I think that I think is going to be a story for this next stretch of the regular season is whether Giannis is the MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo having an absolutely unbelievable season right now. He is, I believe, leading the NBA in scoring and is top five in rebounding and is averaging a career high in assists. Luke, do you think he's going to win his third MVP this year?
I thought that he was going to win his third MVP last year, because Giannis was putting up numbers last season that no other player had ever done before. I forget the specific stat line. I want to say it was like averaging 30 and 15, 30 points and 15 rebounds. And there was never before.
It was averaging 30 points on better than 60% shooting, I think the last time that it happened was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. And so like just a historic season last season. And I think Giannis is just consistently performing at such a high level that the voters for the MVP kind of almost diminish a little bit of what he's doing on the court. because it's just so routine for Giannis, but nobody else. And so I really hope he wins his third MVP this year. I think there's a little bit, like you alluded to, a chip on his shoulder from last season. Like anything that he can do to find that fuel to go out there. He's fueled on chips on his shoulder and dad jokes, it seems. And he's really, really good at the dad jokes, and he's really good at proving the naysayers wrong. And so I think if he keeps up and performs in the second half of the season as well as he has this first half, I think it's got to be pretty universal that he's the MVP this season.
Yeah, and well, I think it is going to – it might, again, come down to him and Nikola Jokic because I think they, you know, they are the top two scorers in the league, and they just both fill up the stat sheet so much. Like, Jokic is the best passing big man in the league. Giannis, certainly not a bad passer in his own right. Both getting, you know, blocks and steals and things like that. Giannis might have the edge on the defensive end compared to Jokic as well. It might be, you know, have to do with how well each team does as well, in addition to that, because, you know, a lot of times those voters will look at, you know, whether they carried their team to a top seed or whether, you know, how the season shaped up and whatever it might be. So I do think it probably is going to come down to Giannis and Jokic. I mean, they're clearly the two best players of the 2020s so far. You know, I think, what is it, every MVP? There was the one Joel Embiid MVP, which we probably shouldn't even talk about because it was such a fraudulent MVP. It just is everything else Joel Embiid does. I'd rather Jokic win a fourth MVP than Joel Embiid win another one. But I think it is going to come down to those two and just whether, you know, the West is a lot tougher than the East this year. And so Denver is probably going to have a little bit more of a difficult time, you know, kind of climbing up the standings. The Bucks, I think, will have a little bit easier time climbing up, as we've seen, just as they, you know, they started out 2-8 and then went on this run. They're already the 5 seed, even though they're just a couple games over 500 at this point. Whereas in the West, you know, Denver, similar record, also the 5 seed, but tied right there with the Lakers, Clippers, right there with the Suns, Timberwolves. That's a much more competitive conference. So that might factor into it as well. But I think, you know, for all the time that we have enjoyed Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, he just seems to get better and better. And each season he seems to do something new. And I think the new thing that he's doing this year, he's not shooting any threes. He's, you know, and he always will. He'll pull up and try to fire off a couple of them here and there. And I
still hold my breath. I do too.
It's always when he makes it, it's just like, no. Yes. All right. But this year he is shooting a career low and the number of 3-point attempts. So he's shooting much better from the mid range. So I think he's really kind of focused his game in and around the paint as always. He's the best paint scorer, best transition scorer in the league. But if he can start knocking down some of those shots from that like 15 to 18 foot range, get some of those fallaways, use that length of his to just shoot up and over the top of some of the smaller defenders who like to play him in a more physical way, try to get him draw those charges and all that. If he can shoot up over the top of them, give him another dimension to his game, it's just gonna be that much better.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch. I hope you have a blast tonight at the game. I'm jealous. I'm trying to look at the schedule to see when I can make it out to Milwaukee for a game this season, but that should be a lot of fun. Giannis is always fun to watch.
Well, we'll have to make it to a game together before the end of the season. We should make a point to do that.
All right, Luke Mathers. That is our 2025 New Year's resolution right there, folks.
There we go. All right, well, Civic Media's own Luke Mathers, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And Matt and Aaron, thanks to all of you for joining the broadcast today. Thanks to Calvin on the board. You'll be listening to Todd Alba Show up next after the Matt and Aaron Air. So stick with us across the Civic Media Network. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's keep recombobulating.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There are early indications that a Russian anti-aircraft system may have shot down the Azerbaijani Airlines plane that crashed in Kazakhstan yesterday, says a U.S. official to ABC News. Why the plane was diverted from its Russian destination remains a mystery. Over 30 people aboard were killed in the crash. Houthi rebels in Yemen say Israeli air attacks today targeted the rebel-held capital in a port city. Israeli military says it attacked infrastructure used by the Houthis. The president and his family on the move, says ABC's national correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Reporters spotted several members of the Biden family, including son Hunter, loading into the president's motorcade as it headed to Joint Base Andrews for the flight on Air Force One to the Virgin Islands. In keeping with a family tradition around the holidays, the Bidens are expected to spend several days on St. Croix.
Holiday season consumer spending was up 3.8% compared to last year, says MasterCard Spending Pulse. This is ABC News.
I'm James.